Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Good morning, radio friends. Once again, it's time for the Redemption Time broadcast with Brother Larry Knowles. I do appreciate everybody that has tuned in today on this Tuesday, a pre-Easter Tuesday. Easter coming up next Sunday. And trust that you're looking forward to celebrating this day as we remember and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll be doing a little bit of a different program this morning in honor of that holiday coming up. Trust that the Lord will bless you with the efforts that we put forth on that this morning. Let me invite you to come if you don't have a home church and enjoy the Easter service with us on this coming Sunday. Our morning service will begin at 10:45. We usually have Sunday school at 9:45, and then Sunday nights at 6 and Wednesday at 7. Probably be no Sunday night service this week. So, we do invite you to come be in any of these services you could there at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle located on Mount Tabor Road. And Brother Rick Smeltzer is our pastor. We would enjoy having you with us and would welcome you if you'd like to come enjoy this service or any of our services with us. We are invited. Also, we do have... if you go on our website, MarylandBaptist.org, and our pastor's on there every morning with a little podcast, gets your day started off right, invite you to listen to that and watch that if you have the ability to do so. Now we're going to have a song, and we'll be back and start our message for today. Like I said, doing a little something different, a little something special, celebrating the Easter season, the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Unto the tomb of Jesus, the stone had moved and he had gone away. The angel said, "Fear not, I know whom seek ye. He is risen." Then she heard him say, "Stone is rolled back, gone. The tomb is empty, gone. triumph gone. Sin is defeated, gone. He lives forevermore. My friend, if you don't know my risen Savior, I beg of you, don't wait too late. Don't wait until the bride has been completed. Don't wait until you hear him say it's too late. Gone, the stone is rolled back. Gone, the tomb is empty. Over death triumph gone. Sin is defeated, gone. He lives forevermore. Gone, the stone is rolled back, gone. The tomb is empty, gone. To sit at his it is defeated, gone. He lives forevermore. Yes, he's gone, but he lives forevermore.
Oh yes, my friends, he was gone that Easter morning, that very first Sunday. After they crucified him, put him in the grave, thought that they so surely had seen the last of this man that they claimed was a troublemaker. He went against their traditional religion. He had a heart for the poor people, for the sick, for the lonely, for the lost. And they thought that they would be rid of him. The greatest error that organized religion ever made was to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. For then he rose from the dead and proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is the Son of God and that he has power over death, hell, and the grave. The grave couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. And so because of him and because of that great event that happened that first Easter morning, we do celebrate the celebration of Easter every year. As we, as Christians, look back at the cross and remember that without the cross, there would be no salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And we do appreciate and we praise him and honor him and worship him every time that we assemble, but especially on this day, as we celebrate the day that marks another year since our Lord and Savior resurrected from the grave. And we invite you to come in and celebrate with us. My friend, if you don't know the power of the risen Savior, I trust that today the Lord will touch your heart, bring you to an understanding of your need for him, give you the opportunity to be saved by the grace of God. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for this wonderful season. We thank you for the great event that happened that morning when they went to the grave expecting to embalm a dead body. Instead, they found an empty tomb. And then later, you appeared to them well and alive, more alive than we have ever been in our lives so far, because you're in everlasting life and we're still in temporal life. Oh, Lord, we do thank you so much for that resurrection and for what it meant for us, what it bought for us. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have today to share that story with the folks that might be listening. Lord, I pray for the sick this morning, for the suffering. Your will be done. Many prayer requests at last Wednesday service. Pray, Lord, that you bless each one of them, fulfill each need according to your will. Lord, for there's one listening today that's not saved, may this story of Easter touch their heart, help them to understand what you did for us at Calvary. Cause them, Lord, to stop and think, where will I spend eternity? Lord, all that you do today, we will thank you and praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we're going to go away from our series on strolling around Old Jerusalem, as we were going to look at Nehemiah and his commission. Today we're going to do this special broadcast concerning this Easter holiday coming up. I'm going to read to you from two separate scriptures this morning, if I might. To begin with, in the book of John, chapter 12, and verses 1 through 11 said, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus and one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. I stop right there because this is an illustration of Jesus' love for his friends. He knows that at this Passover, they're going to take him and they're going to crucify him. And yet, because he so wanted to be with his friends one more time, he come to Bethany. He's within 2 miles of the place where he will die. And he comes and they make this great supper. And while they're having this supper, this woman, Mary, Martha's sister, she brings this very expensive box of ointment, and she puts it upon his feet. And some have said that that box of ointment was equivalent to a year's salary. So Mary brought this, and she worshipped him with the best that she had. And she put this ointment upon his feet, and she got down on the floor, and she wiped those feet with her hair. Now, a couple of things I just want to bring out about this is a week before he is going to be crucified. But she came and she did that. Now, more than the cost of the ointment itself, let me just give you a couple of facts. Number one, it was a disgrace for a woman to take her hair down in public. But she did so in order to wipe his feet with her hair and lay her glory out before him and give it to him. For a woman's glory is her hair. And so she took her glory and used it on the Lord Jesus Christ. She also knelt at his feet, taking her place as a servant. And today, I'm afraid that so many people are so hard-necked and so stiff-necked, hard-hearted, that this would never happen. And yet, my friend, if you really want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to come humbly. You're going to have to get rid of, you're going to have to get past that arrogance. Understand that you are a lost sinner. You must come to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. So we find then that Mary alone understood what Jesus had been saying. He had been trying to tell his followers that he was going to be crucified and was going to die and was going to rise again. But they were having a hard time believing that and taking it at his word. And so Mary alone understood that what was happening, and so she was making preparation for that to happen. Then the next day after that, Jesus makes his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, called Palm Sunday. And so that's what we'll be, we celebrated last Sunday. And this was where the people went out to meet him. They spread palm leaves in his path. They put their clothes in, garments in his path of the little donkey that was carrying him, and hailed him as the King of Israel or the King of the Jews. A week later, the same crowd, deceived by the multitude of the temple people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, all of the religious folks of the Jewish religion, and they same crowd a week later is crying, "Crucify him." So then I want to drop back to the book of Luke and give you an account of just before the Lord Jesus Christ died there on the cross. Our pastor allows, there are three of us preachers there in the church who do not have pastorates. And each Sunday night, our pastor has us to choose verses out of the book of the Bible and allows us to use that time for a few minutes each to present that. So I have recently done this, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. This was what I did back March 26th, and from Luke 22, verse 39 through 46, I'd like to speak to you for just a minute about what's in the cup. Verse 39 to begin with says, and they had just had the supper, so then he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." And so we find here that the Lord Jesus Christ, after he had had the Last Supper with his disciples, he goes out into the garden, and there he prays, and he earnestly prays so hard that his blood, his sweat becomes as blood. And so the question is, what's in the cup that he dreads so much? And this was his last recorded prayer before the cross. Matthew records that at this incident, his soul was exceeding sorrowful. Verse number 42, he does submit to the Father's will and says, "Not my will, but thine." But he also says, if possible, could you remove this cup from me? So what was in the cup? It must have been something terrible, because his sweat became as blood. Now, I know the critics and the naysayers, they like to say that this could not have happened, that he did not suffer that much. But I say to you that what happened here is a phenomenon called, it is a medical condition. It is called hematohidrosis. And what it is, the sweat glands are surrounded by tiny blood vessels. When a person gets in extreme anguish, in extreme sorrow and stress, those vessels can rupture, and blood will actually mix with the sweat, so that when it comes out, it will appear that you're sweating blood. And if you'll notice also, the only gospel that records this is Luke. Luke was the physician. He would have been the only one that would have known the significance of it, and probably the only one that would have recorded it in his account of the gospel, because he was a physician. So, what in the world was in the cup that made him back away so and wanted to know if there was some other way? Remember, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I'll do it, Lord." But he also was dreading it so very much. There was something about it that he really did not want to have to happen. So what was it? Well, we do know that he was already aware of the predictions that had been made of him. From the book of Isaiah, we know that it was going to be beaten, that he was going to be go through these awful painful things. In fact, the Bible said that he was so marred that, actually, I'm paraphrasing this from the book of Isaiah, that actually he did not look like a human being when he come away from that Roman whipping post. You see, Pilate wanted to scourge him and let him go. He thought if he just did something that the religious crowd would shut up and let him go, but they didn't. But anyway, he had scourged him to the point that he did not look like a human being. So he knew that was coming. He knew that he was going to have to go to the cross. He knew that he was going to be nailed to that cross. And he knew that they were going to pierce his side. He knew all of this. And yet, as he looked into that cup, that was not the thing that really bothered him. So we'll look, before we end this message, we'll see what it was that was in the cup that he did not wish to have to go through. But let me share something with you that was a blessing to me. If you look the book of Psalm, chapter 22, you'll find that Jesus said, "I'm not a man, but a worm." That word worm is the word tola. And in order to produce the young, this tola worm has to do a process. Let me say, first of all, that this did not just get put in the Bible randomly. God put it there for a reason. So if we examine the tola worm, we understand some things about the crucifixion. The tola worm, in order to produce her young, must climb up on a particular type of tree. That's what our Savior did. She has a shell on her body, and she is attached to that tree through that shell. She attaches it herself. They could not have attached him to that tree had he not allowed them. Well, while attached to that tree, it becomes a shelter where her eggs are hatched. And for 3 days, that shell, and it provides a shelter for her young that have just been hatched. Oh, but that's not all of it. For those 3 days, the young feed upon her body until she dies. So she knows going up on that tree, she's not going to come down, that she's going to die there. And the Lord Jesus Christ went on that cross knowing he was not coming down. Not in this body. So then at death, she produces a crimson dye that stains the babies for life. Oh, can I say that when the Lord Jesus Christ died upon that cross, that blood that was shed that day will stain the life of a believer for time and eternity. It will forever cleanse us from that sin that would send us to hell. My friend, that is the only way to escape the damnation of hell at death, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and died permanently with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like those babies are from that mother's body. But then the body does something more amazing. After three more days, that mother's body does something that's amazing. The tail pulls into the head, and the body curls up and becomes shaped like a heart. And get this, it turns snowy white. Would you like to have that old dark heart made snowy white? Would you like to have that old dark personality that you have no control over? Would you just give it to the Lord Jesus Christ, submit yourself to Him, and let Him turn it snowy white by washing it in the blood of the Lamb? And although our body does that, it then turns into a waxy substance and disintegrates and falls off of the tree. The red stain stays on the tree. And can I say to you that even till today, the tola worm is one of the major ways in parts of the world that cloth is dyed, because once that cloth is dyed with that tola worm's blood, it will never go away. Friend, many things in this world are so uncertain. But I can tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ is still a rock, a solid rock. He'll never forsake you. Then I do know that He knew of this. He knew of the agony that faced Him. He knew of Peter's denial. He knew that He'd have to see the hurt in His mother's eyes. But what was in the cup that so distressed Him? Isaiah 53:10 tells us what it was that He dreaded. It said, "It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin." 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us." He, I added that word, "who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You see, He knew there was coming a time that they would lay the sins of the world upon Him. He who knew no sin of His own, never sinned, never had an evil thought, never committed one act of sin, would have every sin of every creature ever born in this world laid upon Him. And there He would die under that load. That's why the lights went out. God put the lights out. What happened in those hours of darkness was between God and Jesus. And yet in that last hour, He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That was what He hated in the cup so much, was to be separated from His Father and to have sin laid upon Him. Friend, they put Him in the grave after that, but the grave couldn't hold Him. 3 days later, He rose. He's alive today. Today He issues the invitation to you, "Come unto Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Friend, because of His death, He paid our debt that we couldn't pay. There's no way we could have ever paid that debt, but He paid it. And then by His resurrection, He showed the power that He has to do that. Friend, if you've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved, I want to invite you today that you would do that. That in the closing moments of this broadcast, thinking about that tola worm and how that relates to the Lord Jesus Christ laying His life down on that cross voluntarily, knowing He was not going to come off of that cross alive. And yet, He laid that life down. They didn't take it from Him. Because it said that when he cried out to the Father about why hast thou forsaken me, he did it with a loud voice. This is not the man that's dying with his last gasp. This is a man that's got a strong voice. And then when the final moment came, it wasn't, oh, it's all over, I'm gone. No, it wasn't that. It was, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He called death to do his bidding, and he commended his soul. He willingly yielded his soul to death into the hands of his Father, that you and I might be saved. If you've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ, I urge you today, before it's too late, ask him to forgive you. He'll save you. I know he will.